for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, August 30th, 1991. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran of Phoenix, Arizona is the teacher of the afternoon. Well, most of you met Brother Jack Duran last night, but to those who weren't here last night, we will introduce him again to you. Jack Duran and his wife Carol, where'd she disappear to? I saw her there a minute ago. Are from Phoenix, Arizona area, and they come highly recommended to us by our dear friends, the Camerons, Michael and Robert Cameron. And they told us that we would never be disappointed in having them come to minister at the camp meeting, and that he was a worker in deliverance, and so they're here. And this afternoon, Brother Jack is going to come and minister, and then when he's through teaching, we will do whatever he teaches. That's the policy here at the campground. We do what's taught. And so when he gets through teaching, we're going to do what he taught and expect deliverance to flow. Amen.
It's been good already, hasn't it? Hallelujah. Look at the book of Matthew. Let's just pray right now. I want you to say this with me. Heavenly Father, we have stood in your presence and worshiped you. We stand in awe at your goodness and your mercy. And so, Holy Spirit, we give you permission right now to be our teacher, our revealer, our comforter. We come to magnify the Father through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to be the candle of our life. On my soul, on my spirit, on my body. Have your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just ask that you would just open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. And God, we just come to receive from you the word of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that you are send a teacher to instruct us. And even when we feel inadequate, you make us adequate. And so we're relying on you, Holy Spirit, to instruct in all areas of our lives. And we're going to thank you and we're going to bless you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Hallelujah.
We have a special prayer request that we need to pray for. A little girl of the Cook family that was born with a deformed heart, and the Lord healed her and raised her up. Something happened to her the other day in the swimming pool. I think somebody jumped on top of her and didn't realize it, and she's been unconscious, and they didn't expect her to live through the night. And we need to, her name is Roxanne, and we need to take her. And they're believing, and we believe with her, that she hasn't regained consciousness after they found her in the bottom of the pool.
Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We gather as believers, we call on the name of the Lord. You said, Father, that even before we called, you'd answer. And so, Father, we bring Roxanne before you in the name of Jesus. We believe for a miracle in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we send the word to heal, for your word is not bound. We're going to declare the glory of God through the situation and the anointing of the Most High. And, Holy Spirit, we thank you. As the ministering power of God touches this little one and the family, let fear go in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing and the joy of God flood this family with. In Jesus' name, amen. When we say amen, we just don't agree. We say it is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. When Jesus prayed, and the word was given that we would be like Jesus. How many of you want to be more like Jesus?
Amen.
God teaches us that we would be like Him on this world. As He is, so are we. The Bible teaches me that if I join my spirit with the Father, I am one with the Spirit. There's a lot of deception, a lot of victories, actually, that should be won in the Christian lives, that the enemy just comes, the snare of the fowler. Just comes and takes everything away from us because we don't know our rightful standing in Christ. And we need to understand who we are in Christ before we can even have victory. One of the greatest fallacies or errors in the church is the people don't understand the power of the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood. And yet we know that from the beginning of the book to the end of the book that if there's no shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no deliverance, there's no healing, there's no power. And folks, if you are willing to be open today to what God is going to teach us, because the enemy has come to destroy, to rob, and to kill. Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. And He's not talking about the sweet by and by, He's talking now. If you read the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 28, you're going to find out that there's not that many books there, chapters. But if you read chapter 28, as I was saying last night, the greatest thing that God has given us for spiritual warfare other than the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, the sword and the shield, He's also given us peace. He says, I give you peace, not as the world gives, I give unto you.
Yeah.
And so He gives us peace to defeat the enemy. And the enemy just loves to come in and rob us of the joy and victories in Christ. Until everything that is within me is moved by everything that is without me. And the greatest victory that God wants us to have is that you and I are going to have to understand that I can't surrender my peace to the enemy. The love and the joy of God. The enemy loves to take away from you that which God has given you.
Yes.
I do a teaching in the scripture that I believe that God, because of His sovereignty, will use everything. A lot of people don't understand that even the devil's in God's in control of the devil. You know, even though he's the prince of this earth and the power of the air, he's still subject to God. And you need to understand the sovereignty of God before you can understand even deliverance and who you are in Christ. Through the blood of the Lamb, if you turn with me to the book of Revelation, let's go to chapter 12. And I just want to establish some things before I go into teaching more on deliverance and what God has for us. Because the enemy has come not only to rob us of who we are in Christ, but the enemy will always take away from us everything that is good for us.
Amen.
There are people today that are, whether you know it or not, the enemy's been putting thoughts of separation, of divorce in your life, in your family, and your loved ones, and take away that which God has called holy and precious to you. And there are people that believe they are Christians and profess to be Christians, that are being deceived because the enemy comes and steals from them. And there are people that think they're acting crazy, or their husbands or their wives are acting crazy, and they don't even know why they act that way. But demonic activity is there. They say, brother, you know, one of the greatest problems we've had in the church, that every time there's revelation, new revelation, the enemy comes and takes it away from us, and there's splits in the church all the time. Most of the denominational splits and growth that we have is because there was more revelation. And when there's revelation, there's revolution.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. And every time we see, you know, we argue about whether Christians can have demons or they can't. A Christian can have anything he wants. Or anything he wants to get a hold of. When I started out, I had to have deliverance done on me as a believer. All spirits of perversion and lust and all kind of murder spirits were there. When I got saved, I was fixing to kill my own brother. And I would lay awake at night, just this tormenting spirit in my mind and my thoughts, just going through. I lived in California, and my brother lived in New Mexico, and I was always thinking, how can I fly over there and kill this brother of mine? Or how can I go and maim him and cripple him without nobody knowing that I did it? Well, I was getting ready to plot the thing. I said, well, since I like to drink, they probably think I'm a drunk. And I probably can drive up there and back in one day. And it just so happened that this righteous, holy woman used to work with me in a dental lab. I'm a dental technician by trade. So if you lose your teeth, have no fear, Jack is here. And I used to just wonder how I could do this thing. When I was getting ready to do this, this precious woman invited me to church, a Nazarene church. And there I surrendered my life to Christ 21 years ago, coming out of the L.A. County Jail. I was one of those guys that used to wake up on the sidewalks, you know, with a banana peel on your head, you know, smelling like a brewery in a sewer, really. And I don't understand the workings of God. I don't want to get too smart, because then I won't be able to confuse people like Brother Wilson. God says he's going to use the ignorant things of this life to confuse the wise. Amen. But I don't have a degree. The only degree that he gave me was a B.A. Born again. And he told me to go preach. I said, okay, I'll go. And I've been preaching since. And I'm going to deal with some of the things that we need to understand, the blood and the power that God has given to the believer. I got so fed up of the enemy coming and taking everything from me that I finally decided I'm taking back, Turkey, what you've taken from me.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to turn with me to Revelation 12. Let's go to verse 11. It says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. Let me just share something with you that you need to understand before you go into understanding what it means to overcome by the word of their testimony. A lot of people in the churches believe that all they have to do is get up and say, thank God I'm sanctified, washed in the blood, and born again. And sit down. That's not a testimony. What that literally means is that you can stand in the eyes of your enemy, the devil himself, and really call it to his face and say, you shed innocent blood, therefore I am redeemed, I am washed in the blood. And because you shed innocent blood, I have power and authority over you. A lot of people don't understand the power of the blood because they don't understand that there was no human blood in Christ. Somebody said, no human blood? There couldn't be no human blood. I'm not a medical doctor. We have Dr. Noel. You know, yesterday when they were saying Dr. Noel, I thought they were saying Dr. No. Dr. No? And I was, you know, my mind was starting working on me, you know, because it works that way. And I had to bring it back into captivity. I was thinking his mother was yelling at me. What part of no don't you understand, boy? And then I finally asked him, how do you spell your name, bro? So anyway, not only my accent, but also my ears, I guess. But one of the things that you need to understand, what do you call the tube where the baby's born in a woman? Fallopian? Fallopian? Fallopian tube. Because there's no human blood in Christ. The reason that you need to understand where there's no human blood, because the human blood of a person always comes through the sperm of the man. Okay? So there was no human blood there. That's why the blood is so precious. It is pure blood. And even though Jesus had a brain just like us, I see a lot of people say, well, Jesus overcame because he was the Son of God. And he was God incarnate, and therefore he had victory. When Jesus defeated the enemy at the cross, after he defeated the enemy, he came to his disciples and he says, all authority and power is given to me, therefore I give you all authority and power. To what? To tread on scorpions and serpents and all things and all the power over the enemy. Don't help me preach. Let me preach. Was that word we supposed to say fast? What does that word fast mean, brother? No. You didn't do that, did you? Shut your mouth. And the power that Jesus gave us is because you need to understand that Jesus actually did not defeat the enemy in the spirit. He had to defeat him in the flesh, in the carnal. And being that he had a mind like man, the pure thing that was in Jesus, though he was baptized by the Holy Spirit, And he also hath the mind of Christ, right? Jesus says that we have the mind of Christ, and we put on the mind of Christ by the washing, by the renewing, through the word, the watering. Amen? And so we understand that because of the power that was in him, if Jesus had been defeated with all the temptations, the only way that Satan can defeat you is through the flesh. Right? If he tempts you. Wine, women, and song. Man. Women, whatever he uses, the same. So he tried the same things to use against Jesus himself and defeat him in the carnal by presenting him the kingdom. Remember, he took him up after he got baptized and he was tempted of Satan. He tempted it with everything that the eye, natural eye, could see. Because I believe that Satan is smarter than we give him credit. And I believe he knew that in the spirit he couldn't defeat him. But if Jesus had been defeated in the flesh, there would have been no victory at Calvary. For you and I, we wouldn't be preaching this gospel. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," to the Father, what was finished? It was finished that he had defeated. Not everybody had been healed. Not everybody had been prayed for. Not every village had been visited. Not everybody had been touched by the power of God. But Jesus, when he's at the cross, he says, "Father, it is finished." God had given him a course to follow, and he followed it to the end, and therefore defeated the enemy in the flesh, that we might also have victory over this flesh of ours through the power of the same Spirit that dwells in Christ, dwells in me. Is that true? Come on, folks. Aren't you baptized with the Holy Spirit? And if you're not, we're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I'm going to speak in tongues. Yeah. Let the sheep of the Lord say, "Yeah, Lord." How many of you know the goats are butting everything? But the sheep of the Lord are always saying, "Yeah, Lord." And God, through the power of the cross, defeated the enemy that you and I can have power over every demon, sickness, disease. I believe that in this last days, I've raised people literally through the power of prayer and faith believing. Went to see a young man the other day at the hospital. The doctor was there with his mother and said, "He will not raise up. He's dead." I looked at his mother and said, "That's a lie from the pit of hell." I went into the ear of the young man and said, "You are alive. You are not dead. You will live." I told his mother, says, "Exactly." That was one of those days when I had faith. I went home, and next day I went over to see this young man at the hospital. They were getting ready to discharge him. And God, I don't know why, but there's people that I have prayed for that have died. But that doesn't keep me from praying and believing. Amen. You know, we read in the scriptures, and the brothers have been saying that in the last day, sin will abound and evil will grow and all these things. Well, should we stop and say, "Well, it's just going to get worse, Brother Jack"? Well, it's going to get good at where I'm at, because I'm going to take over. I believe it is the power of every believer that wherever he says, he goes and believes that God has sent him to say, "I'm going to believe that signs are going to follow me." You say, "Brother, well, that's easier said than done." Well, if you say it, it'll be done. Because with the words of your mouth, you're going to be trapped. Amen? Some of you do not understand the power of the tongue. You don't understand the power of the anointing, and some of you don't understand why you probably haven't grown or haven't done anything, because you probably were snared by the tongue of your parents or somebody that always called you a dummy or stupid or idiot or something when you were a kid. That needs to be broken, because the enemy used that against you. Amen? Yes. The Bible teaches us that we speak good to says that out of our mouth can come evil and good. Only good ought to come out of our mouth. Amen? And the enemy uses everything to destroy us and rob us of the joy of God. About 3 or 4 months ago or so, I was in my home. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping. And the issue here is it's not really arguing who has demons and who doesn't, or whether we believe or not. The Bible, if you study the Bible, it really doesn't say whether Christians or non-Christians were being delivered. I'll tell you what, I would not deliver an unbeliever if he wasn't willing to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches me in Matthew 15 that deliverance, healing, blessing is for the children's bread. Say, "We are the children of God. The blessing belongs to me. Deliverance belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. Joy belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. The anointing belongs to me. Everything that God has belongs to me. Amen. And you need to understand that before you can even work in deliverance and understand the blessings of God in your life. I was at home about 3 in the morning or 4, and the Lord woke me up and said, Satan desires to destroy the mind of your son, my 10-year-old who is here, Nathan. And I got up and I woke up and I listened. And Nathan was talking in his sleep. And the Lord again said, Satan desires to destroy the mind of your son. And I got up and I went into his bedroom and I commanded that foul, tormenting spirit to loosen my boy and to let him go. If he's tormenting his mind, he's not oppressing. Okay? Let me tell you something that the church, I believe the church is in error when they say, well, brother, the Christians cannot be taken over, but they're only oppressed. Well, are you oppressed inside or outside? Come on. Inside. So it has to be in the mind or in the physical that the enemy oppresses you. He can squeeze all he wants to on the outside. It's when he gets on the inside that causes problems for me. Amen? They say, well, what's wrong with you, sister? I'm just oppressed, brother. Oh, don't worry. It's on the outside. So why am I losing sleep on the inside? Come on. I'm going to try to get you to see some things here. Anyway, I went over and I cast that spirit out of my son. And I said, you foul, tormenting spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of him and let him go. In Jesus' name. He said, and he went, there he goes, there he goes, there he goes, and went back to sleep. In the morning, I asked him, I said, son, do you remember me getting up and doing deliverance on you? And you remember sitting up? He said, don't remember anything, Dad. But that's okay. And nobody can tell me that deliverance is not real. I believe my kids are saved. And I've done too much deliverance on believers and pastors and other people in Arizona and around wherever I go to know that it's real. I've done deliverance on pastors that have been oppressed by spirits of divorce and loss. And I've cast those spirits out and they just start weeping like little children. And they say, brother, something left me. And they begin to weep under the anointing of God and say, brother, how come not everybody preaches and teaches what you're doing? I says, because the church doesn't want to touch it, brother. That's why. They're so afraid and critical of everything. I agree with the hunters. When in doubt, cast it out. Amen? When in doubt, cast it out. You're going to find out that some of you that are going through some hassles in your marriage, if you pay attention to what God is saying through this meeting, you're going to be able to surrender your will to the will of the Father, and every demonic spirit of torment is going to leave you, and you're going to be set free to worship God together as a family and begin to flow in unity. You see, there are men here today that are being tormented by spirits of lust because there's no relations with their wives anymore. The Bible says that the only time you're going to say, well, this preacher talks about sex. Maybe he's got a problem. No, I don't have a problem. See that blonde over there in the back? That's my wife. And I don't have pull no punches to tell you that I pray to God, give me a desire for my woman. The other day I made a mistake and I said women. And I said, whoa. When in doubt, cast that out. And so I pray that way. The Bible teaches us that if we're going to have separate for fasting, only do it for a season, lest the enemy comes and tempts you. And there has to be in marriages and relationships a stirring up of that love relationship. Because God put it there for you, and you need to stir it up. I tell my elders, I'm in a retirement community. I have elders that are 76 years old and 80 years old. And I think I got one that's about 90 years old. And I tell him, brother, you're going to have to pray that God gives you a desire for your wife. Because I know, don't look at me, elderly people, and say, not me. I know. The enemy is very subtle. And folks, if you pay attention to what I'm doing, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here because God has sent me here to teach you how to be set free from the demonic forces that come against you, that you might live a victorious life. You say, yeah, but we've been married 40 years. Well, you got married for a purpose. Come on, folks. Don't look at me. I know there's longing. I see your faces. And somebody said, man, that my love and my marriage would be stirred up. It's up to you to take over the authority of the demonic forces that have come to destroy you and rob you of the joy of marriage covenant. You see, God gave us a covenant through the blood, and we have power. Every demonic spirit, every force that comes against us, and every perverse spirit, and every lust spirit, and everything that comes against us, and every divorce spirit. Come on. God didn't call us to this marvelous life just to take us to heaven one of these days. Or the brother said, well, I guess we're not going. He's coming down now. Hey, cancel the trip. Maranatha. Amen. You see, I guess some of the Christians are like some of the Christian Science. They're going in the rapture in a rocket. Think on it. And folks, if we understand the principles of deliverance and what God has sent to do in this life, we will have greater victory. Some of you are still battling against the spirits of anger, and you don't even know why. You do a study on the word anger on the scriptures, and you're going to find out that anger is a spirit. There are Christians probably even here. I'm not going to say I'm going to bet. You know, I'm a Mexican, and we're always betting, and we don't have no money. But there are people here that are full of fear and torment. And I'm going to tell you that fear is not just an attitude. It is a spirit. God calls it a spirit, the spirit of fear. God didn't just say, I didn't give you the attitude of fear. No, he said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, of love, of power. You say, brother, you said it wrong. Power comes before love. It don't matter. Love, power, sound. He gave it to me. Amen? And God didn't call us to be defeated in this life. He called us that we might have life abundantly. Yes. I believe that if you listen to what God is teaching us through the power of the Word, I've been so blessed by this other two brothers myself that I'm looking forward to sitting under more teaching myself. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're willing to surrender your will to the Father, see, a lot of times the enemy will always trick you to say, your name's Jim, your wife's name? Connie. If I was dealing with Jim, the carnal mind, the demonic spirits would always say, well, Jim, it's Connie's fault. Isn't that what Eve said? Isn't that what Adam said? The demonic forces were there already warring against them. And it's always, brother, it's you. And so the church is in this conflict of demonic spirits coming against us, always pointing the finger elsewhere instead of saying, Lord, search me. And see if there's any good thing within me.
Yes,
and if there is not, then I believe, Father, that you can cast it out. And you can wash me and make me whole. You know, if we didn't need the infilling of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives and every moment, then we wouldn't have to come to church and be refilled and be anointed again. I believe that we are the anointed of God. Amen? Some of you are the anointed. How many of you are fed up with the way life has gone for you? And even though you come in worship, you stand in the presence of God and you don't understand why. You just want to get rid of everything around you. That's a cop-out, because Jesus came to give you authority and give you power and to give you blessing, to give you joy, and to make you more than a conqueror. Say, I am more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ, who loves me and saved me by the power of the blood, by the word, and by his name. Hallelujah. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm going to change. Because God's going to change me. Hallelujah. You know, it's so easy to turn around and pass the buck all the time. If you understand demonic warfare, remember that one of the things that we try to do most of the time, we're constantly trying to war in the five senses of the carnal.
Yes.
And we're constantly warring down here. If you want change, you need to war in the heavenlies. Whether you understand it or not, there's spirits over your city that you need to pull down. There's principalities and powers. You understand the warfare in the cities. You look at San Francisco, the ruling spirit is homosexuality and lesbianism. Perverse spirits. Los Angeles, drug addiction. In the town where I'm at, a small town of retired community, alcohol new age. And we need to understand how to war against this power that come to destroy us and rob us of the joy of God. You say, well, brother, I just don't want to be with this woman no more. And I just had it. I don't think it can. If you believe that God is God, then God can change all things in you and through you. Come on. Because now I'm getting under conviction. I feel like running now. Don't run. Run to Jesus. And so we understand those principles. Let me share something with you. It is estimated, preachers, I don't know if you're here, how many of you are preachers, and I don't care to know. I'm going to tell you something. It is estimated that one out of every 10 preachers has a sexual affair with one woman in his church. It is estimated that one out of 4 ministers has some kind of a physical sexual contact with another person in the church. I had a young man not too long ago. I want you to listen to me. I had a young man not too long ago come to my office, a man about 28 years old, probably about my height, probably about my size, a good 250-pounder, very much a man. He says, they told me that you can help me. I says, well, God can. I said, I probably can, but God can. So sit down, let's see what God. Introduce myself to this young man. And I'm just sharing this with you because I want to do some teaching from the Word, okay? I'm trying to lay a foundation for you. And this young man came into my office and he said, Brother Jack says, I want to share with you that I go to a big church, one of the biggest Assembly of God churches in Phoenix, or the biggest Assembly of God church. And you probably know Brother Tommy Barnett. He's got the biggest church in Arizona. Anyway, it's not Tommy's fault. But the preachers need to get their act together and begin to have the spirit of discernment. This young man came into my office and he said to me, he says, I have a problem because I have this girl. Her name is Michelle, but she goes around as Michael and has a man's job. Says, I want to know, we go to the same church, we go street meetings, I do praise and worship. I want to know why I am attracted to this young lady. I says, it's very simple, brother. You're a homosexual. Man, talk about a mad guy. I said, man, we're about the same size. I said, Lord, I thought we were going to go at it, you know. And he got upset with me. He said, brother, I says, you're crazy. He says, I'm clean. I'm pure. I've never done any of that stuff. I do praise and worship in church. I play my guitar. I worship the Lord. I'm clean. I said, brother, I didn't go see you. You came to see me. I said, I feel like I got my act together. And I'm not having problems with this girl. You are. If you're going to receive from me, then I'm going to set you free. And if you're not, then don't waste my time and yours. So I said, well, he says, I'm free, brother. I said, okay, keep talking. Well, it happened that in about another hour of just sharing with me, he started weeping. And he started crying, this young man. He said, brother, I'm going to tell you that he's 26, 28 years old. He said, I'm going to tell you that for the last 8-10 years, I got saved at the age of 18, and I thought this preacher wanted to help me, and I figured, well, he's going to teach me how to minister the Word. He says, this preacher called me into his office, and he began to, and then he said, well, I don't blame the preacher totally. He said, but this brother enticed me. His secretary called me into his office and said the pastor wanted to see me. So I went to see him and he took me down to the cellar of the church and there he enticed me to have sexual relations with him. And I've been having sexual relations with this pastor for about 8 or some years. And I know, folks, it sounds dirty and it sounds yucky. But there's a lot of perverse spirits in the church. And I said, brother, do you want to be set free? I said, did God discern? Did I have the spirit of discernment on me? He says, yes, you did. I says, then let me cast it out and set you free. I've had lesbians in my church. I've had homosexuals in my church. And I just went to a church, like I was saying last night, to New Mexico. And I know a lot of the Assembly of God. I preach in a lot of Assembly of God churches. And thank God he's opened doors for me. Beautiful people, beautiful brothers in Christ. And I went over there the first thing I said, Lord, the reception when I got there, because I get excited about the kingdom. And I had been there about 8 years before, you know, and I like to just kind of dance and get excited in the presence of God, because if I read the book of Psalms 149 and 150, it tells me to dance and get excited about the things of God. Amen? Some of you are going to dance before you leave this week. You're going to know what a thrill it is to praise. And every time you stump your feet, you say to the enemy, smell my feet. That's what you tell the enemy. He needs to smell the feet. Amen. Hallelujah. And folks, if you understand what God is saying to us, we move into a greater place of deliverance. I went to this church, and the first thing I said, Lord, give me a sign, because they sang their two songs, and half of the church got up. They were sick, and the Lord says, there it is. I got up, and I said, don't ask me to leave until God is done doing what He's going to do with me. I had a revival there for about 5 days. And I told the pastor's wife, there's a lesbian spirit that's on you. And you don't tell a pastor's wife there's a lesbian spirit on you unless you know there's a lesbian spirit on you. They told me not to ask the people to dance 8 years before. I was wondering what they're going to do. Lord, you better be right on key. And she started crying, because at that time when they came against me, when I went over and said, you got to rejoice in the presence of God. And the associate pastor came against me. Tremendously. And I told my wife at that time, I says, watch what's going to happen in this life. You can come against me. I don't know if this will happen to you. If you never come against the ministers of the gospel. Amen. I'm not defending my rights, you know. A lot of people come against me. But it's true. The lady, the associate pastor, ran away with one of the ladies from the church. The Lisbon spirit wanted to get on the wife of the pastor. And I went to preach one time there, and the wife wasn't there. And I told the preacher, where's your wife? He says, oh, she's in Texas somewhere. I said, right this moment, God is dealing with her. You're going to have a new wife when she gets back. He looked at his watch. He said, I want you to look at your watch. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. And at that time, the wife had come over the following day or so. And she said, I'm going to tell you that at 11, whenever the time was, this is God spoke to me, and I'm going to change. I'm going to be sent to you. The pastor looked at her and said, I already know that. Brother Durant told me. He says, how did you know? I said, because the Spirit spoke to me. And folks, if we want to be set free from any demonic spirit, God is with us to set us free. Amen? Some of you elderly people have been tormented for years and don't know how to get a hold of it. And don't be ashamed, you know. You struggle with things in your life. God wants to set you free more than you think. There's no reason to be defeated when God came to be our victor in our life. Amen? I'll tell you, don't be ashamed if God reveals stuff to you and begins to prick you in your heart. Don't be ashamed. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're so ashamed even to discuss some of the intimate things with our own wives and with our own husbands. Amen? But God is a revealer of the intents of the hearts and the secrets of the heart. And He came to purify us and make us vessels fit for His glory, that we might be vessels of honor in the house of God. Trees planted by the rivers of life. Amen? And so God wants to set you free, and He wants to break that yoke. You see, it's so easy, brother, to blame everybody else around you, isn't it? There's spirits in here today, which is known as the Jezebel spirit. And Jezebel spirit is not only on women, it's also on men. It's just the name of the spirit. It's a controlling spirit that wants to control, wants to dominate. One of the curses of the law that you need to understand that came to man is the curse of the law said that the woman, it said the woman would be subject to the man, okay? Now, when a man, don't get excited and don't hit your wife, because I'm not done. But it says that the man will lead his wife like Christ leads the church, okay? So God doesn't scream and holler and punch and push. He leads. You want your wife to follow, lead her. Well, she's stubborn, brother. Break it in the name of Jesus. Come against that spirit of control. See, there's a controlling spirit and jealousy spirits in marriages and in homes and children and wives that need to be broken. Jealousy spirit is like the venom of a viper. It'll destroy your marriage and everything in it. And for years, it begins to be controlling spirits of Jezebel spirits. There's also spirits that have come of perversion in your home that you need to get rid of. You know, we talk a lot about some of the things that happen, and people say, well, I just had this dream, and I had relations with a man in my dream. That, if it's a woman, that is called a Sakaba spirit. If it comes to the woman to have perversion acts of sexual relations with you, it's an Incuba spirit for identification. Then they need to be broken, and they need to be cast away. I have spirits. I had a spirit the other day come to me, wanted to have relations with me in my sleep. Well, it came with a face of a woman in the body of a snake. Guess who it was? And I was able to subconsciously say, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. If you're in tune with what the Father is saying, these things will not control you. You will have power and authority over them. Come on, folks. God is doing something with you. I know. Listen up. You see, God wants to set you free from all areas of your life. One of the most destructive spirits in the church is naturally also is the spirit of religion. A religious spirit, you know, you put on your religious garb and, you know, you become the you become the giraffe of the church in Noah's Ark. You see, the destructive forces that come to the church, folks, is the spirit of pride. You become the giraffe of the church. You know, your neck is up here. It becomes a religious spirit. And a religious spirit is something that is a Pharisee spirit. Remember how the Pharisees were so spiritual that when Jesus came, they didn't even recognize him. They were so tied on to religion and the law and tradition that they didn't even see who Jesus was. And sometimes if you're not careful, we get so religious, we look at the way we dress and the way we comb. And I wonder, you're probably wondering, how come I'm preaching and wearing a tattoo? Because I had a tattoo when God saved me. Why else? So, I also have a tattoo here that says loco on my calf. That meant crazy. But now my brother-in-law gave me a new revelation. It says love our Christ only. And there's all kinds of spirits that have come into your home to destroy and rob you of the joy of God. And if you really want God to do a thing in your life, then you're going to have to listen up. Because I'm going to do a teaching. I want you to turn with me right now. How much time do I have, brother? Another 5 minutes? I want you to turn with me. I thought he said stop. It's getting wound up here. You see, if we deal honestly with the anger spirits, the perverse spirits, the jealous spirits, the Jezebel spirits, controlling spirits in our lives, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to turn around in your life. If you are honest with your heart and with yourself, God will do a new thing in you and through you. And if you're going to work in the kingdom and you're going to have the anointing of God in your life, see, well, I'm not dealing with salvation. I know you're saved. Because I believe in this one thing, in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, love. And I'm not here to cut doctrines or the way you think. I'm just trying to teach you that it's real what we're saying. See, I don't rejoice. I don't get excited. The Bible says don't get excited because demons obey you. I get excited because I know who I am in Christ. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A lot of people don't think that God keeps books, but he says there's a book of life. Amen? You know, people say, don't get caught up on numbers, brother. Well, he wrote a book on it. Some of you are getting nervous on me. And you're saying, well, I hope my husband listens up. And the husband's saying, get our law. He's going to get you both. He's going to get you both. And some of you singles that are here, you say, well, I ain't got nobody to contend with. You've got to contend with yourself. I look in the mirror every morning and I say, look, God, what you got to work with today? My biggest problem is me. But once I learn who I am in Christ, I have power and authority and victory over everything. I am the priest of my house. I am the husband of my wife. I am the father of my children. And I take authority and dominion over demonic forces that come to my house. Come on, folks. You need to do the same. You just can say, well, I'm just going to pray, brother. Sometimes it's time to get up and say, devil, I'm sick and tired of you messing around with me. Amen? You know what it says when the Bible teaches that if we do what God tells us, even in tithing and do what God tells us, he says he's going to rebuke the devourer for our sake. You know what he's going to do? He's going to tell the devil, that's enough. Back off. Come on. You see, we need to deal with the pride spirits in our churches, you know. If we don't humble ourselves, we're talking about humility. You know, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, when they went under the curtain, they had to humble themselves and crawl inside. That's literally what we have to do. God didn't call us to be usurpers of authorities. He called us even as ministers. I'm here to be your servant. I asked Sister Millis, I'm willing to help you in the kitchen. You need help. She said, well, brother, you got a badge. Well, I just want you to know who I am. We're servants of God. We're servants to the people. Amen? Somebody will go, preacher, I want to talk to you. The Bible says, that preacher said, you're my servant. Well, some people are tall and some are short. Amen? Some are sand to cut hair and some to polish shoes. But I'll tell you one thing, we're all called to be servants of the Most High. Yes. Once you understand those principles, victory is going to be yours. You see, I'm going to deal right now with dealing with the how-to of spiritual warfare in two dimensions. And I hope that God will just instruct you right now and begin to... I want you to say this again. Holy Spirit, again... I yield myself to you, that you might teach me how to be an overcomer in this life, how to deal with spiritual forces, because I'm tired of fighting in the carnal. For my warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness in high places. And I've been given power to pull down strongholds of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, they're coming down. Amen. Tell somebody, they're coming down. You need to learn how to engage in spiritual warfare for your own life, and also, especially when we become aware of sin in our life. You see, sin is not going to be hid from you. All sin is going to be exposed. You say, well, I committed a sin a while back, and if nobody's found out, let me tell you something. Rest assured, it will. I don't care if you did it a year ago, 2 years ago. It'll surface. And if it doesn't surface in that way, it's going to surface in you, in your body somewhere. There's going to be a lot of torment. Because it needs to be repented of and dealt with. Amen? And we need to understand. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to do some teaching here. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to go with me to chapter 24. 4:24. Is that what I said? There's no chapter 24. Well, don't confuse me now. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Says, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Say, I'm going to put on the new self. I'm a new creation. I'm created in the image of God. I am His workmanship. I will know how to do the works of God. I will destroy every demonic spirit that comes against me and every thought that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. I'm going to pull it down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to walk victorious in this life. I am more than a conqueror, washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to understand not only how we can have power and victory over the spiritual forces and deliverance that come against us, but we also need to learn how to lead others step by step into how they can also be victorious in this life. You say, brother, do you mean if I understand this principle that I'm not going to have no problems and no situations? Well, if I said that to you, you'd kick me out, because Jesus says in this life you're going to have trials and tribulation. You say, brother, I need to put up with tribulation? No, but he says get excited about it. Amen? How many of you know it's not easy? Especially when your shield of faith is full of darts and there's no room for another dart. Amen? You see, the area of dealing with spiritual warfare Since the beginning of time, God has had to deal with man in all areas of his life. In pride, in ego, in spirits of exhorting ourselves. What happened to Satan? We know in Ezekiel what the Bible teaches. Satan says, I'm going to exalt myself. I'm going to be higher than Most High. Five times he says, I will, I will, I will. And so man is no different today. But if we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, he said, I give you all power to have authority. Paul said, I have power over my own flesh, my own mind, my whole body. I literally beat up on it to bring it under control of the Holy Spirit. You see, if I'm going to preach what I'm preaching to you, it's because it's working for me. I don't just want to say words to you. Folks, look at me. It's working for me. And it's got to work for you.
Amen.
Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, the revelation is not just Satan in the world, but we're in the world. Greater is he that is in me than my own flesh, my own carnal mind, and every demonic force that comes against me. Amen?
Yeah.
I believe that the study I'm going to do today is probably one of the most complete how-to passages that we have in Scripture of how to overcome spiritual warfare. And we read some of that in the man's. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. If you need to stand up and stretch for a moment, do it. We're trusting that the Lord's going to bless Brother Glenn with some. Go ahead and stretch if you need to. Just take a moment to stand up for a little bit. That God's going to bless this camp meeting with 3-hour chairs. I believe that once the seat gets tired, the brain don't function. Amen. So I'm not going to take too much longer here, okay? And then once you stretch, you can sit down. Hallelujah. Look with me to James 4. Let me read some scripture there in the book of James 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do not you know that the friendship of the world is hostility towards God? Now, I'm talking about adulteresses. When the Bible's talking here about adulteresses, he's not talking about women that are going out with other men. He's talking about the church that goes out and whores after other gods or other ways. Okay? They go whoring after other gods or other ways. They go to seek the counsel of the ungodly. That friendship with the world is hostility to God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives us a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In Genesis 3, the battle of that we see that happened in the garden, and also in Matthew 4 and Mark 1 and in Luke 4, the gospel reveals the last Adam and the second man facing the same temptations from Satan as the first Adam and the first man in Genesis 3, but with opposite results. And because the opposite results of the battle that Jesus had with Satan when he was tempted again is because Jesus, remember that the blood was pure blood, and also because of the anointing, he had already been baptized in the River Jordan. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many of you have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Don't be ashamed. Maybe you don't understand. So, well, I don't want to speak in tongues. Well, God wants to fill you to overflowing. And so what we have here in this results, remember that the results were that Jesus says, I give you power, I give you authority. And there's no reason for us to be defeated. I got fed up of being defeated in my life, in my home, with my children, with my wife. I got fed up. If I would have continued in the way that I was going. You see, a lot of people today, and maybe some of you here, let me tell you something. I got people in my church that have been married up to 7 times. And don't stand there and go, sin is sin. Okay? But you know what? They're washed in the blood, they're forgiven, and they're getting a hold of the teaching that God has given through the Word, and they're changing and looking to themselves. See, a lot of times, they say, well, you know, this man, and you go from man to man, and you always look for a greener pasture, and all you find there is a bunch of weeds.
Amen.
And you found out that maybe some of you have been divorced, and all of a sudden, you find out that this guy's a weed. But it's time to change and look inside of you and see what God is saying and where is it that that problem is coming from. You know, if you've been married as many times as some of the people that I know, then it's time to take inventory of self. Amen? And you need to take inventory. If you've been married once or the enemy's talking to you about divorce now, you need to take inventory and get a hold of it and get a hold of truth. See, it's not truth that sets you free. Am I right? It's knowing truth. It's knowing the truth. See, I've got truth here. I deal with people a lot of times and says, I don't need you. I got the Word. Yeah, honey, but it's not working. Come on. If you're going to know the truth will set you free. It's not just quoting Scripture in John 3:16. It's knowing what John 3:16 is all about.
Amen.
It's knowing what God has to say about me. Praise God by hearing and hearing what is told through the message of Christ. I need to know who I am in Christ. If I'm going to have power and authority, then that means if God is so powerful and I believe in whom... You see, the word believe is an action verb that says I get a hold of it, I grasp it, and I'm not going to let it go. And if I'm not going to let it go, it means that this word has to have power to change me and change my circumstances. A lot of people are always moved by circumstance. You talk to people today, well, how are you? Well, under the circumstances, bro. What are you doing under the circumstances anyway? You have authority and power. You need to prophesy to yourself the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Say, I'm going to prophesy to myself. When things are getting me down, I'm going to speak to myself. And I'm going to have power. You see, as much as David messed up, David prophesied the word of the Lord. He saved himself. Why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? Arise and praise the Lord. And that's what you need to do. Shake off those heavy bands.
Yes.
Lift up those holy hands. Yes. Woo, glory to God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians right now. Can you just give me about another 10 minutes? Did you say, mm-mm? I know some of you are saying, I'm going to change. Say, I'm going to change. Yeah. See, we say we have faith, and yet we don't have faith to believe that God can even change our own husbands, our own wives. You know what kind of faith it is? It's a Thomas kind of faith. It's a carnal faith. It's a meathead faith. Because the thing that changes mountains is the Abraham faith. And we have been made heirs and joint heirs of the promises of Abraham through the seed of Christ. Hey, I'm going to have the faith of Abraham. Because Abraham saw things not as they were, but as they were going to be. You see, Thomas said, I'm going to believe only what I see. Amen? Is that what Thomas said? Unless I see, I won't believe. That's a carnal faith. Everybody has carnal faith. The sinner and Christian alike, they all have that time of a sense knowledge faith. Sense knowledge faith never moves mountains. It is the faith that doesn't see and yet believes that it's going to be.
Yeah,
you know, some of you, I'm going to just lay this on you. You're standing in the gap of finances. Keep on standing and see the salvation of God. Somebody needed that. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Whoa. Somebody ripped it out of my Bible or what? Let's go to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler. Say, my struggle is not against you, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, I'm taking up the full armor of God. And I'm going to be able to resist in the evil day. And if I have done all, I will stand firm, having girded my loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'm taking up the shield of faith, and I will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And I'm putting on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and petition, I'm going to pray always in the Spirit. And with this in view, I am going to be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of James 4:8, we read in the first verses some things that it has to do with some of the things of our struggle and of our war that is there. If you really read those verses from 1 through 6, you're going to find out some things that you need to deal with in your own life. And then he takes us to verse 8, 7 and 8. It teaches us how to resist the enemy. Then I think of the later part of 6 and 7, first part of 7, it deals with deliverance and how to be set free from the enemy. I want you to turn with me right now to the book of 1 Peter. And let's go to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's go to verse 8. It says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Now, Peter wasn't talking to just the unbeliever. He was talking to the saints of God. He says, be on the alert, because the devil's going around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he might eat up. You see, the enemy, when the Bible says that the devourer, when God says he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake, it means the seed eater. When he says in the book of Malachi, in giving of that which God has told us to do, he says, if you do such things, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. The seed eater is going to go out of your life. I'm going to rebuke you. But resist in verse 9. Firm your faith. Now remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or faith is hearing what is told through the message of Christ, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Say this: God is going to perfect me, confirm, strengthen, and establish me. That means that if he's going to perfect you, he's going to finish what he did. He's going to confirm you. He means he's going to come and establish that covenant relationship. And then he's going to make you strong. And then he's going to put you on solid rock. Amen. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now we just read in Revelation 12, 10 and 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Verse 11. God wants you to establish that thing in you. One of the things in James 1 through 8 that I feel is the key purposes or key passages for at least the following reasons that we need to understand in the book of James is it deals with all three dimensions. First of all, it deals with all three dimensions of man's multi-dimensional sin problems. It deals with every aspect of sin in our lives. The flesh, the world, and the supernaturalism. It deals with the three aspects of self, the world, and all supernaturalism. And it's the only passage that's actually that do this is in James 4, 1 through 8. Also, it takes us in chronological order through the steps necessary to full victory in our lives. And folks, as we understand this principle, nothing's going to defeat me. If I understand what James was saying in James 4, 1 through 8, I will be able to defeat every demonic spirit that comes against me in the name of Jesus, because then I know how to war against it. Amen? Stand with me. I think I'm going to continue this message and the next teachings that I do, because I want to establish some things with you in order for you to have victory in your life through the power of the name and the blood, okay? One of the things that we know is the primary forces is the spiritual warfare first by Christians. As we learn it here, as James is teaching us, can also be used with non-Christians. Okay? You see, it can be used with all Christians, not just demonized Christians. Again, let me establish something to you. When we talked about Christians having demons and being tormented by demons, I'm not saying that they're totally possessed. A possessed person has no control at all. Okay? That means it hasn't gone off the deep end yet. But they can be tormented inside and in the mind. Remember that Satan can touch the best, the worst battle is in your mind. And Satan can touch your conscious and subconscious mind. Okay? Otherwise, how would evil thoughts come? It says that's only carnal. We're not fighting against the carnal. We're fighting against spiritual forces by subduing the carnal through the spiritual forces of God, the spiritual Holy Spirit within us. Is that all right? Or does it bring confusion? It contains the foundational counseling principles to use in all Christians who are struggling in their spiritual life. And folks, you need to take inventory, because the enemy is going to bounce you around like a ping pong ball. You're going to go ping pong. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to just bounce you around. But God has called us to victory and power by the anointing. Say to yourself, I have power. And I have authority. You see, you need to understand Satan has power, but he has no authority. And the only way that Satan can really come to you or his demonic forces is by bluffing and deception. Everything that he does is deception, because if we understand that Jesus really took authority and conquered him because of the shed blood, and we say that we worship him and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, then folks, we need to understand what really took place at Calvary. He said he went to the depth of hell and took the keys from him and came and said to the church, here, what are the keys? What are the keys to the church? The power of the word, the name, the blood, faith, peace, joy. All these blessings are the keys to the kingdom. See, it's not going to be a kingdom then, it's a kingdom now. He said, brother, well, you're teaching kingdom now ministry. He said, the kingdom is at hand, it's within you. So I got to teach. A lot of people have a hard time with that, brother. I said, kingdom now? Yeah, I'm in the kingdom now. Say, I'm in the kingdom now. Hallelujah. Let me just close with this, okay? One of the things that we need to deal with in order to defeat the enemies, we need to, first of all, confront the sins of the flesh of which we are guilty, according to verse 1 and 3. And then we continue by breaking all allegiance with the world, verses 4 and 5. See, demonic forces, see, a demonic force, if you're married, for instance, let me just share this with you. If you're married to an unbeliever and you're a Christian, demons aren't just going to transfer every time a husband and wife, say this brother Bill and his wife are married, and say one of you wasn't a believer, the other one was, and they come together in a marriage covenant of relationship, demons are just going to be bouncing from the unbeliever to the Christian. Because you see, demons, if they're satisfied, say they were in you, and they're satisfied of being there, they like it there. And they're not just going to move to Bill, because they know that they don't like to be in Bill. They like to be in you. You understand? And so demonic spirits, I know there's transfer of spirits through intercourse, through cuts, through trauma, all kinds of junk that I hope we have a chance to touch on some of this thing. But there's a transfer. But don't get so spirit, don't get so demon conscious that you look for demons every time the lights go out, okay? Yes. I'm not doing that. I'm looking for Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I'm here to assault Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the enemy has to smell defeat. Amen?
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that the enemy, you have power over the enemy. And every demonic force has to go from you if you really believe that God came to wash you and sanctify you and purify you and get you justified. You know what justified is? Just as what? That's right. Justice is like medicine. Amen. We don't preach because we want to get right with God. We preach because we are right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. By faith we accept God's great affirmation of grace in the first part of verse 6 of James 4. In obedience we respond to God's essential qualifications, the second part of verse 6. All of the above that I've shown you is actually God's preparation for our response to three great commandments and three great promises that God has given us. And I'm just going to close with this. You need to understand that James, again, has the four, the 100% formula, which we call in deliverance. And that James deals with the 45, the 10 and the 45 of verse 6 deals with the first 45%, which is counseling. And then we go to verse 7, which deals with the 10%. And then, of course, in verse 40, in verse 8, it deals with the other 45%. And you need to understand how you're going to get clear of all those things. How many of you today are being tormented by anger? You get frustrated. Honestly? Lift your hand. Rebellion? How many of you feel like you have a spirit of control? The spirit of control. Don't be embarrassed, folks. God is here to set us free. I've had to deal with a spirit of anger myself, so I want freedom. I want to be what God is in me. How many of you struggle with the spirit of lust? Come on, raise your hand up. Nobody's going to judge you. And wives, if your husband raises your hand, don't go and go, I'm going to hate your God. No, you're going to love him because he's going to be set free. You know, if we all play the parts that we should, nobody'd be lusting. Amen? Especially in covenant relationships. You know, when we're out in the ministry a long time, as the brothers know, we need to, hey, you know, our eyes, man, when my eyes start looking, I got to go looking for my wife. And I say that respectfully and not shamefully. And I say, hey, I need some help. I'm not ashamed of that, folks. For God gave me a wife. And some of you that are not married, that are hurting in this area, then get married. Find, if you want to get married, then you ask God to give you a man or a woman and get married and don't burn. Better to get married than to burn. It's not talking about going to hell. It's talking about lusting and all this kind of junk that is there. See, lust is not lust until it becomes a seething desire within. How many of you have problems with feeling inadequate? Rejection. Not love. Let me tell you, you that are feel not loved, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, look at you. I love you, Jesus, and Jesus loves you. Yeah. You know, folks, a lot of these people a lot of times feel this way because our own churches don't show love.
Right.
And we don't know how to embrace, and we feel rejected, and we feel like we don't belong. Let me tell you something. It makes me so mad that the devil binds the Christians, and they can't even release love to one another. Right. And yeah, that needs to be broken in the house of God. And pastors, if you hear, it's our responsibility to break that in the house of God. I had a lady the other day say, well, your church is not too friendly. And I believe I got probably one of the friendliest churches in town. And I'm saying, if my church is not friendly, I wonder what's over there, you know? Because I tell my people, you love one another. You hug. You greet each other. The little ones, greet them, you know? Don't ignore one another. The spirits of rejection. How many of you have been molested as children? Don't be embarrassed. Anybody here? Being molested as a little girl. Well, I'm going to deal with just a few spirits here, but we're going to come together in mass deliverance. And folks, I'll tell you, if you're honest with God, these things have to go. Because we're going to command the spirit to loose you in the name of Jesus. And I believe that as we speak to the spirit, God is going to do some things in you. The spirits of inadequacy are going to have to go. Haughty spirits. Spirits of pride. They need to be broken. Let me see. Ma'am, you look at me. One of the most destructive forces in man is the spirit of pride, the macho. Let me tell you, there's no machos in the kingdom, friend. I thought I was King Kong. God let me know I was Cheetah, you know. God has a way of humbling you. You know, you giraffes, the Lord, you might have long necks. God's going to cut your legs and get you down some size one way. Amen? How many of you here believe that the spirit of divorce has to go from your place? We can't stand in the presence of God. If we come today and we know that we stand in the presence of the Father, folks, let me tell you something. The consuming fire of God has to burn away all that junk and command it to go in Jesus' name. And folks, I know it works. You think that I just preach, man, I got a war against these things myself in my own life. Constantly. Getting in the Word and constantly as a pastor. You know, people say, well, brother, why do you get paid? You only preach 3 times a week. I go, Lord, give me 5 minutes off so I can punch him out, you know. Some of you that are here that are struggling, you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your leadership. Pray for Brother Miller and his camp here. Pray for Brother Wilson and Brother Harris and some of you pastors. You need to come. You know, I thank God has given me elders and ministry in my church that I can go to them and say, brother, I'm struggling in this area. You know, I feel frustrated. Pray for me. Cast this thing. I've had spirits come on me. The other day I got home, brother, and I hadn't been in my house 10 minutes. I came in happy as a jaybird, you know. I was whistling and I was loading up my, just getting happy. And you know, sometimes you get up and you think they gave you canary seeds for breakfast, you know. You know. And I walked in my house and all of a sudden, brother, my body just seemed like, whoa. It was like, who is that masked bandit? Just hit me. And your whole spine, your whole back, everything just went out. And I said, and I began to do spiritual warfare. And I began to command every demonic spirit. I do warfare on my children, on my wife. And I give demonic forces. You're not going to destroy my children when they're fighting like cats and dogs. You know how they fight, those kids? My wife too gets. So I command that spirit of anger to go in the name of Jesus. And we bind it and cast it out. Some of you are looking at me because you fight like cats and dogs. And you need to command that spirit of anger, frustration, and dissension, and contention to go in the name of Jesus. You say, well, brother, we never fight. No, you need to get rid of your passive spirit and come alive in Christ. There's spirit for everything. Every area of sin in our lives that is hindering has to be tied down to some kind of demonic spirit. I know, folks. Every minister of the gospel, every prophet of God, all of them have been tempted. Jesus himself was tempted and tested. I want you to say, the spirit of anger, I command you in the name of Jesus. Go to the dry places. You will no longer operate in me. I cast you away from me in Jesus' name. The spirit of dissension and contention, go in the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. Spirit of divorce, you go from me. You will not destroy my home. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come on, say it with authority. I command you to go in Jesus' name. You have no power over me. You spirit of control, Jezebel spirit, go in the name of Jesus. You have no place in my home. You jealous spirit that comes to destroy. I command you in the name of Jesus, go for me. Loosen my mind. Loosen my spirit. Loosen this vessel in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Your spirit of rejection, go for me. I am of the beloved. I am accepted. I will no longer reject myself. Spirit of rejection, go in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. Spirit of lust, you're not going to consume me. I resist you. I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. I break the power over you. Spirit of prejudice, I command you to go from me. Loosen me and let me go. Spirit of torment, go in the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. You lying spirit, go in the name of Jesus. You will not torment me any longer. Go in the name of Jesus. Loosen me and let me go. Hallelujah. Somebody has to deal again with the spirit of anger. I just sense it in my spirit. If you struggle with that, say it again. Spirit of anger,
go from me.
Do not torment me any longer. Spirit of perversion, I command you to go from me. In the name of Jesus, I cut you away from me. All curses, I break you. In the name of Jesus. All curses through the bloodline, I break you. All words spoken against me, I break you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority and dominion. In the name of Jesus, I am free. I will walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, I am washed in the blood. Holy Spirit, go from me. You have no place in me. Come on, speak to the spirit of pride again. Spirit of pride. Familiar spirits. Go in the name of Jesus. I break your hold over me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with some more stuff later, okay? I'll tell you, folks, if you believe what's taking place, God's going to set you free. Let me talk to some of you preachers that are here, if you're here, or just starting. Brothers, let me tell you something. You take authority with your people and you command them and teach them how to do warfare. And I'll tell you what, your church is going to grow. And don't pacify the spirits. I had a young lady in my church who I dealt with deliverance and counseling. She still kept going. Don't want to be set free with a lesbian spirit. She was one of my drummers. And I'll tell you, folks, I've dealt with all that stuff in my church. I've dealt with all kind of witchcraft. I've dealt with the New Age. The New Age people that are right by my church a block away, I went and confronted that spirit. I said, you're going to leave this city. They said, we'll see. I said, we'll see. You will leave in the name of Jesus. You will not operate here. God sent me here and I'm taking over the city. The mayor came against me. I went and preached to the whole city council. I told the church, I said, I'm going to minister to this whole city council. And some of the church mocks you and they laugh at you. Oh, you better get it. And then when I tell them, I said, I preached to the city council for 20 minutes today. They came against me and I came against them in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something, folks. I know it sounds weird and stuff. The mayor came against me. The Lord removed him. He died. The lady from the New Age who told me, says, we'll see. She went to India or somewhere to get some more stuff. Well, she was there. She died. Let me tell you something. We're not just vessels full sounding like a bunch of maracas. You know what a maraca is? We're not maracas. We're vessels full of the Holy Ghost taking authority and dominion. And we're going to walk like we have authority. We're going to believe God. And I say that in reverence to the Holy Spirit because God has given me a boldness to destroy the work of the evil one. I'll tell you, they constantly keep coming against me. I do a lot of warfare at night, and sometimes, folks, demonic spirits come against me. But I'm more than a conqueror. And I refuse to bow down to the spiritual forces that come against me. Let's just pray right now. I'm going to turn it over to the brother. Brother Miller. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you're doing the work in this camp meeting with your people. And Father, I know that greater things are ahead. As you begin to unfold, Father, the greater things of the kingdom of God. And Father, I just thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and humble ourselves before you. And Father, get deliverance from all demonic stuff that comes against us. And then in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the blood and the name of Christ. And we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. I want you to say something at the count of three. We're going to just shout with the Shabbat of God. Amen? You know what that is? At the count of three, we're going to shout, Hallelujah! We're going to let every demon know that we're worshiping God, and we're going to let God know that, hallelujah, we worship you. One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.